Yeah, I mean, this is one of those questions that's it's just steeped in medical history, but thankfully it's one that we don't really encounter nearly as much in the antibiotic era. Like I myself have never seen a case of rheumatic fever, even though I like had to learn the Jones criteria in medical school. But I've definitely seen patients with mitral stenosis as a result of a prior diagnosis of rheumatic heart disease. So it's certainly something that clinicians need to be aware of.
So when did people first notice that people with rheumatic fever often developed heart disease, and specifically this association with the cardiac valves?
So let's zoom to the first half of the 20th century. And there were several case reports that essentially followed people who developed rheumatic fever over time. One study in particular from 1951, it followed 1,000 patients who had rheumatic fever as children and followed them over the course of 20 years. And so of these 1,000 patients, 653 developed rheumatic heart disease.
And do we know how many of these patients had valvular involvement?
You know, it was sort of hard to discern how many total had valvular involvement, but it was a really common cardiac complication. So 117 of these 653 patients, or about 17% of them, had mitral valve involvement at that 20-year mark. The typical progression was actually a combination of mitral regurgitation and stenosis initially within the first 10 years. And then at 20 years, basically anyone had any involvement with the mitral valve had stenosis.
Quite remarkable that they were able to follow 1,000 patients for 20 years.
Also, I'm so curious, are they diagnosing this by stethoscope?
Yeah.
I'm assuming like, so.
They cannot have ultrasound.
No,
right? They were doing MRs. They were cardiac MR.
Yeah, I'm assuming it was based on exam and sort of clinical diagnoses.
Yeah, but you know, your mitral stenosis from rheumatic heart disease is not subtle. But to your point, Hannah, it also suggests that this is maybe an underestimate. There may have been people who had rheumatic heart disease but didn't have heart failure as a result of it, and wouldn't have ended up being captured. So what's the mechanism?
A 1985 study in mice found that antibodies that targeted the streptococcal M protein also strongly reacted against cardiac myosin molecules. M protein is a virulence factor, and it helps it evade the immune system and sort of take up residence in human tissue and cause infection. So antibodies against this strep M protein also react against cardiac myosin, which is a muscle protein specific to the heart. So the explanation that I found was that they have similar structures called coiled alpha helices. And so apparently the way that they're coiled alpha helices are configured, that's enough for the immune system to mistake one for the other.
So the assumption is that this all helps to ultimately explain the valvular involvement.
Rheumatic heart disease can manifest in different ways. There can be myocarditis or myopericarditis, pericarditis. And I'm guessing that the myosin molecular mimicry part is probably at play there, at least partially. But it doesn't actually explain the heart valve association. And that's because cardiac valves don't contain any myosin. They have fibrous connective tissue like elastin. They have endocardium, but they don't contain any myosin.